Probably.
Warming up out there.
Warmed up a little with the sun out.
Okay. This is September
25th.
We are September 25th, 1985, and we're at the home of Harry and Josephine Riley, and tape recording for the school district book. Okay. Okay, the way I wanted to start is real simple question, like when you were born, and where?
You want to?
Yeah, we'll start. Oh, I'm just listening to you here.
Well, I was born in Rampart, Alaska, in 1903. You got it now?
So in Rampart, is that where your parents were from?
Well, yeah, so they're from all over. You know, they know Rampart was never a town till they discovered gold there in the 1900s, early part, 1900, I guess. And I lived there till I was 6, 7 years old, and moved to Tananaw and stayed there a couple of years. And then I went to Nenana Mission School in 1912. Fall of 1912 in August, and I stayed till went to school there till the spring of 1918, and I went home again to Tananaw. It's where my mother was and grand folks. And
so who is your mother?
Well, her name was Lucy. And I stayed there just a little while, and then I got on the, they had them old stern wheeler boats running up the Yukon, Tananaw. And I got on there. But before that, I pulled a poling boat, me and some other guys, up the Hess River, Hess Creek they call it, above Rampart, about 25 miles above Rampart. And we poled it all the way up to about 25 miles, no, about 12 miles within Livingit. Then we killed some moose there. Then we packed the load. We packed some meat over to Livingit.
How old were you that time?
I was 15. And went into town of Livingit. It was a mining town with a lot of people there then.
Why did you decide to pack it to Livingit?
Well, we had to have money.
Oh.
And we didn't have enough room in the poling boat. We had to make a boat. Anyway, we sold the meat, and then we come back, and then we made a moose skin boat. We sawed two skins together, this cow moose and then the calf. We tied on to the bigger skin and made a boat. Oh, just, I don't know how long the boat is. We had a
regular river boat?
Yeah, but it was wide, you know, just more of a raft, something to get down the river in. And there was a lot of current in that Hess Creek. And we built the boat and the fur in and the raw side out. And we loaded our boats, and we had a lot of meat there. And going down, we started down the river, and then this wooden Poland boat couldn't hack it. It couldn't get over the riffles, so the water was dropping in the fall. The September scene. We had to load the rest of the meat onto the skin boat. That skin boat would just go right over the riffles, you know, there's nothing to it, like snow go.
So who else was with you that time?
Huh?
Who else was with you that time?
Oh, I know Archie. He was about my age.
Archie who?
Moses. But the rest I forgot too. They were older people, older. Some of them was real old. Anyway, we got back down to the Yukon River. Then we come to Rampart and I had little meat left. I sold what I had to the different individuals, you know. White fellows that was prospecting or mining. Then I got to Tanano. I don't remember how I went down. I went down in a boat, Poland boat or something like that. Drifters, you know, a lot of drifters some days going to different mining town. Then I got to Tanana and next morning I see boat come in, so I walked down there. I got a job as a deckhand. Got on there as a deckhand.
You just went up to the boat and talked to them?
No, they said they wanted a deckhand. There were some native boys working on there, and they asked me if I wanted to work. They know I was just a kid, but I was big, you know, I was strong enough. So I got on there. We went to Fairbanks, and I noticed this scow we had cover, you know, and sides. Big river scow, you know. What the boats push, you know, with freight and whatever. And we got to Fairbanks and a bunch of draftees there. That's what we went up for. Put on a whole slug of them. And a lot of them I knew from Livengood. I met them over there when I sold the meat, you know. Young men, you know, draft age, 21, 23, something like that.
So they were drafting people then?
Well, for the World War One. See, the World War One was on then, in 1918. Then, anyway, we got them down to Tanana. And then we come back up to Nenana, and we got some more there. And we were hauling freight too, you know, down to Tanana, put it on other boats. I don't know where they go, St. Michael's, I guess. Or Dawson. And anyway, that was the, and then there, it was freezing up time and had to pull the boat up. I got off at 10 now, I didn't want to go to Fairbanks. The shipyard was at Fairbanks in the China, the old China town, they call it. Not a big town, like, had saloons and everything there. In the town. And I went back to Tanana. I stayed there all winter. And next spring, the first boat come down. This is Seattle number 3. I jumped on that one. And from there, went to St. Michael's. We were working between St. Michael's and Dawson. And I went up to my first trips to these towns in St. Michael's.
What did you think the first time you get to those places?
Oh, I liked it. It was strange, you know, new.
What kind of things were different?
Well, everything. The people were different. And of course, I don't go to their homes. I don't know how they live, you know.
Well, that first trip you made, so you were making money on that trip. You were working as a deckhand. What kind of things did you do as a deckhand?
We load freight. We have to load wood for the boilers. This is run by steam, wood burning outfit. Burn about 1.5 quarts an hour.
So it's pretty hard work.
Oh, real hard work.
Did a lot of people quit, or did they stay?
Oh yeah, a lot of boys quit. They get tired, I guess, or they don't like it. I stayed all summer.
You liked it?
I didn't mind. I had to do something. The next summer I didn't work. I worked towards the end, but I fished at rapids on the Yukon River between Rampart and Tanana. That is hard work too. It is all hard work.
So you were fishing for dogs or to sell fish?
We sell it. No, for dogs too, but I had no dogs. My mother had 3-4 dogs, I guess. She'd do her own fishing with a little net, you know, right in town at little smokehouse.
So you would dry fish and bale them?
Bale them.
Who would buy that fish?
Oh, gee whiz. Everybody, all the trappers. Trappers and miners. Most of the fish that we sold went to Fort Yukon and Beaver. That's where the big trapping deal was on. There's tons and tons and tons of fish go up there. Even the Indians buy them. They don't fish up there, you know. They don't have fish wheels like the lower river, like from Stevens Village down. They all go by fish wheels, but up there they don't. They have so many channels. See, it's in the Yukon Flats. And you just got to have a good spot before you can get any fish. So that way all the fish went up to most of it to Fort Yukon. I guess all the way up. Circle, Eagle, as far as you can send your fish is to Eagle.
You then send them on the barge, on the boat?
Hmm?
You send your fish up on the steamboat?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have a whole scow load of it, loaded on. And when we get to town where they ordered fish, we unload it again.
You had an outboard motor?
No, there was no such thing as outboard motors.
Well, how'd you get around in your boat?
What boat? I'm talking about the stern wheelers.
No, but when you were fishing. When you were fishing.
Pullman boat. Oars.
On the Yukon?
On the Yukon River. Yeah. There were hardly any inboard motors. It was all rowing. With paddle, oars, we called them. Sure, you have to go across the Yukon, put 500 fish in the boat, and then row it back across where the fish camp is.
Just one person?
Oh, two. Mostly two. Well, somebody's got to stare while the one is working. Working the cylinders.
Yeah.
She went down to the laundry. Yeah, I worked on the river boats for 5 or 6 years. Then I quit the boat. It's hard work. The railroad come in and It paid a little better on the railroad. We were only getting 2.5 a day on the steamboats. And that's working all shifts, 7 to 5 a month. Sometimes we work a little overtime, we get 85.
Not much time to sleep or get
off. Well, you don't sleep too much, but we sleep while the boat is running. We just get behind the boiler and freight all over. A lot of freight them days. Lot of freight going up and down the river.
Which different steamboats did you, which sternwheeler did you work on?
Oh, I worked on Julia B. I was saddle number 3. That was my main boat. Tannenaw, the Reliance. And Delta. Then I worked on the government boats too, the army boats. I worked for the army on river boats too for a couple of summers.
What were their boats doing? I never heard about those government boats.
Oh, they belonged to the army and they were stationed at Tannenaw. And I got on one there in the early spring. Well, we go up to Dawson, lay around there a week or 10 days for 2 or 3 soldiers coming in. And they haul freight too, you know. Dog feet, they buy a lot of dog feet. Army, they had big dog teams. They had to have dog teams to run the telegraph lines. See, all the telephone lines, or telegraph lines, they call it. They had to maintain, the army maintained it, the signal corps. And they all had dog teams, 7, 8 dogs each. Every 20 miles, they'd have a station. Every 20 miles all the way from Fairbanks to Nome. All soldiers maintained it. Then they had wireless too. You seen those wireless towers, huh? They had one at, I think they had one at Eagle, one at Tannenaw, and they had one at Caltech, and one at mouth of the Yukon, had one. Then they had another one, I guess it was in Nome, I don't know, someplace. But that's all the wireless towers I knew of.
Well, during those years working on the sternwheelers, what would you do in the wintertime?
Oh, I don't do hardly anything. I haul meat, and I remember we used to, Tannenaw had around 350 troops there, you know. They all got to eat, and they don't get no beef or pork from the stateside them days. They get little in the summer, you know. But another thing too, we used to bring down cattle from Dawson. They'd run them over from on the White Pass Railroad, I guess. And they bring them down on the Canadian boats to Dawson. Then we'd load it into our boat and take it down to Tannenaw. Maybe 40 or 50 like that. And then when it gets cold like this, too cold for the cattle, you know, then they slaughter them. And then pass it out, you know, pass it out. Mostly army took it. But that didn't last long, you know, for the army. They eat a lot of meat. And then we go out and we kill caribou and moose and haul for the army. Haul the meat, for that's all the meat they get, you know, after maybe around 4 first of the year.
So So how would you haul them, with dogs?
Dogs, yeah. That's all the transportation there was. Couldn't get out in the timber with horses.
What about reindeer meat? Was there reindeer meat?
Oh, there was reindeers around. There was a herd there in Tanano, but it didn't last long. I think it was stocked there for about 3, 4, 5 years, and then they moved to the coast with them. They moved the herd to the coast. Well, that way they didn't get much reindeer meat. Get a lot of caribou, though. There's a lot of caribou in the country then.
So you just had to keep busy doing things to make a living.
Oh, yeah, you had to keep going. You can't just sit around, that's for sure.
Did you ever have to cut wood?
Yeah, I cut wood. Army took a lot of wood in Tanano. 1,000 cords a year. They burned 1,000 cords a year. Of course, they always had so much in reserve, you know. And there was a lot of woodcutters.
So you cut for the army?
Well, we cut for the whoever got the contract. See, the army lets out the contract, and mostly the stores would, like the NC company and the TC company. They'd get the contracts, and then we'd cut for them. Yeah.
Cross-cut saw.
No sweet saw.
So how much would you make doing that?
Well, we get $5 or $6 a cord at the stump. We'd pile it up, you know, in cords, and get $5 or $6. I forgot how much. I think mostly $5. It'd take all day to cut a cord. For me, you know, I wasn't the wood chopper. Young, too.
So were you living right in Tanana, or were you living at the mission?
Well, I live right in town, right in Tanana. I go up to the village, too. I go up to the mission, too. Stay up there.
So where did you stay in town, with your mother?
Yeah, with my mother. But I never was home too often. After I got through working on the river boats, I started working on the railroad. I had, I don't know, quite a few different jobs on the railroad.
What things did you do for the railroad?
Well, I worked on the sections. Called the section Gandhi Dancers.
So what would that be doing?
That would be keeping the road, you know, level. Like if it go down like this, you'd raise it.
Grandpa.
And then if...
She'll take washing machines back to the dump.
And then I work on the extra gang. That same thing, that's fixing the road up, the whole road, you know, it's big gangs, 120 men in a gang. And then I work on the bridge gang, maintain the bridges. Worked in shipyard for the army, for the railroad.
Which was the roughest work?
Well, that changing ties and that shovel work, that was the toughest. The bridge was easy work. We just go to a bridge and tighten up bolts, you know. You know, that vibration would loosen them bolts, and we'd have to tighten them up every so often. And then I worked on the crane. I worked almost one whole summer at Nenana, Fairbanks, on the crane. Just signal man, you know.
So, I've never seen him work on the crane. What would you do for that?
Well, they have the crane and then they have the operator. Well, we'd load, you know. We'd load cars. Unload, we'd unload. Like you get big pipes, you know, that you can't take too long for handwork and do it by machine. It's mostly handwork them days, see? No machinery yet. You never see no cat around. The Road Commission, or the BPR, I guess they call it now, like that when you got in Manly. They had few cats, you know, graders, but just for them, not for everybody.
What did you think when you started seeing motors and machinery and stuff?
Well, I expected it. You pick up magazines, you know, and you see they have inboard motors that you could install yourself. Naturally, the Indians go for that, you know. They make a few dollars in trapping. First thing they do is buy a motor. Easy going.
Well, that railroad work, was that year round or just summer?
Well, if you land a right job, like that bridge gang I was working on, that was year round. It gets monotonous too, you know, out in the woods, I mean, out on the track for months, you know. Take a leave once in a while.
So those days, were you living in Nenana?
Yeah, I live in Nenana. Most of my life, I lived around Nenana. Till I bought this trap line here in 1926. Then I moved out, moved here.
Where's your trap line at?
Right up here, 15 miles up by the river, by the Tolvanna River.
You buy that from an old trapper?
Yeah, an old trapper. Uh-huh. Old. He was not a trapper, actually. Well, his partner trapped a little. But them, they were prospecting up in the hills there. And he wanted to sell the place, so I bought it.
Who was that?
Oh, it's a fellow by the name of Moose John, that's all I know about. He was a foreigner. He was a... I don't know what, a Slavonian of some kind. He was from the Balkan states anyway. Couldn't talk very good English.
So then did you spend most of your time trapping? Is that how you made a living?
Yeah. Yeah. I lived at the old village then. That's where we all lived. Yeah, I fish in the summer. Oh, I work too once in a while. And the last time I worked, I worked 4 years for the Weaver brothers on the barge line from Fairbanks to Galena.
Which barge is that?
Boat? Well, Weaver Brothers, barge
that was
line.
The name of their boat.
Oh, we had the name of one boat by the name of Skookum. Another one was Pelican. For several years, we had just some two boats.
Is that Pelican the same one that used to be the church boat?
No, different boat. Different.
And so what do you do for them?
Well, I would steer the boat, pilot. Then I sound out the channel for the pilots, you know, going down river. That's the only time you get stuck is going down with the current. And then I sound out the channel for them as far as Tanana. After 10, now you don't have to sound. You have to be quiet. You can't go just any place, but you know the channel. You're okay. I worked 4 summers for them. Then I quit. It was time to retire then.
So how old were you that time, that last time you worked for them?
61, I think.
That's how old you were?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you spent a lot of years on the river.
Oh, yeah.
Has that Tanana River changed much?
Oh, changed all the time. Every trip we go down with, different channel. You just have to find it, that's all. We get on the bar once in a while, for a little while, you know. Some places just cutting out, you know. Channel change, all right, but it's just cutting out. You gotta go that way, whether you hit or not. It don't take long, a couple hours and you're off, because it washes out, you know. The current will wash you right out.
So those years you said you moved to the trap line and started trapping. How was trapping in those years?
Good. Trapping was good. There was a lot of foxes. A lot of minks, not like today. Few martens.
A lot of lynx.
Oh yeah, quite a few.
How were prices in those days for fur?
Oh, it was good. You mean for getting rid of the fur? Oh, there was a lot of fur buyers. Yeah, fur crazy them days. Come in from the stateside, you know. Very few buyers would spend the winter up here. I mean the summer, you know. They come in the fall when the fur season opens, and they stay till the season close, and then they go back stateside.
So where would you sell your furs?
Well, I sell them all over. I sell them to the stores too in Nenana. They all buy fur. Sell it to them. You gotta have food, you know. You gotta have money on the drink at the bar. No bar some days when I bought that trap line.
So when you trapped, were you by yourself?
Yeah, well, I had a partner. There's a partner here with me. He had his own little trap line, I had mine.
You were never out with the family?
No, only Josephine. I took her out. Just not all winter, you know.
Well, so your decision to move to Minto was mainly because of the trap line?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have relatives here?
No, I didn't. But I didn't care too much for Tanana, too. I had no place to trap, anyway. All the trap lines were taken up, you know. And I didn't know how to trap, tell you the truth. I learned what I know about trapping right here. That boy I had with me, he showed me how to.
Who was that?
Chris Charlie. He got a bunch of sons there, 3 or 4 sons there. He's dead now, he's drowned. But he showed me how to trap.
You ever have funny things happen to you when you were learning?
No, not that I know.
So what was your best year trapping?
1927, the best. 27, part of 28.
What did you get those years?
You mean fur? We got mostly minks and mostly foxes. Foxes were high too, real high.
How much do they pay for fox then?
Well, you get a red fox, if it's a good red fox, you get 85, somewhere around there, maybe a little over. And you get cross fox, you get around a couple hundred, 175. They have number one, I remember I caught few number one crosses, they called them. Gee, they go way up into 250s then. Get you good silver gray, you get $500,
$600. Did you get any of those?
I got a couple. But well, mostly red foxes in this Minto flat. Red and cross foxes.
And living was pretty cheap then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I remember bringing over, you get $1,000 worth of groceries and other things. Boatload, you know, boat and little scow with it. Take up here. Up to my place. But you'd have enough there for all winter. Only we never took eggs and potatoes because they'd freeze, you know, we'd leave. But there was granulated potatoes, they call it, and granulated onions. Then they'd have dried eggs and cans, you know, just mostly yolks. It was all yolks. You just have to make scrambled eggs if you want eggs. Well, we didn't care too much about that. I mean, we could get by without it. We have a lot of moose meat, caribou meat. Only the potatoes we miss. But we had rice and macaroni, and that.
So you lived pretty good out there.
Oh, we lived good, sure. Yeah, you don't have to kill ourselves either. We go about 7-8 hours a day. And that was too much too, that was too many hours. I found out how the white people trapped. You see, we didn't use no system like they did. They go out about 6 hours, some of them just 5 hours a day. Yeah. And they'd come to the cabin, put the night in there. Us, we'd get that much daylight, we'd go to the next cabin.
How come they only went 5 hours?
Well, that's their system, you see. They don't kill themselves. They don't kill the dogs, you know. And you do. You get just as much fur. So that way they... Towards the last, I finally got onto that system. Hell, it's no use to go here an hour. The natives, they go for hours, 10, 12 hours. And on snowshoes, too, a lot of them.
So were you always on dogs trapping? Did you go on
snowshoes? Oh, yes. I used dogs all the time. It's after I quit trapping, they come out with these snow goats. I quit trapping. Oh, there were some snow goats around, but I didn't care for it. I had the dogs. That was good enough for me.
So did you really like dogs and... train them up and have your special dogs?
Oh, yes. Sure, you got to have special lead dogs. Most and good working dogs. Yeah, you got to train them. They train good too. You just go any place. Even there's no trail they take off that way. You command them. You command them to go certain ways, they'll go. They're not gonna shirk on you.
Did you have a favorite dog?
Oh, yes. It's a lot of them. Yeah, a lot of them I had. They had to be. Had to be.
What's the best dog you think you ever had?
Well, I had several. I had Bo, Trixie, Gray, Chuckle, Soxy. That's about the best I had, the five good leaders. Oh, I had Stony. That's recently, though, towards the end. And Fritz.
Polar.
Yeah. Huh?
Polar.
Polar wasn't no Ray. Lead dog. This is lead dog you're talking about. Oh, I had another one too, but I forgot the names. There's too many of them anyway.
Did you ever race them?
No, I never raced. Just once I raced a long while ago, 33, I think, in Fairbanks. I came second there. But after that, I raced dogs and I let other people use them, you know, two or three, whatever I had. Then when my boys got older, then they ran them. That boy I got in Nenana, Jerry, I don't know how many years he took most of my dogs to stateside.
You taught him about dogs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he used to live with me, you know.
What's the most important thing you tell him about? How to train a good lead dog?
Well, the best way to train a dog is in the fall. Just when there's little snow, then you can gee and haw them, you know, or get them on command. And that's the best time to train dogs that I know. I mean, a lead dog. And you can get them to go around grass, just to train them, go around trees like that. And some of them get real good too. Some will go the wrong way. You tell him come home, he'll come back. And then all right, he'll go the other way. They gotta be like that on trap line. Because we had our trails, see, all cut out. But that's just to have a good leader to do that.
You ever have trouble with them chasing animals? Chasing
mine was bad. They were bad. Yeah, I remember I built brand new sled, come over to my cabin. I went up, check one line. I wasn't checking it, I was just setting traps. I had seven dogs. Gee, they were game crazy. And I was coming along the Tall Banner River, you know. No sweat, them dogs was trotting. They were going fast, too. They're coming home, you know, close to home, cabin. And all of a sudden, it took off. Rabbit run across the creek. I fell back. When they went up the bank, I got up there. They hit a birch tree. And I had four extensions. And it went back to the extension. Took all the rest out. just split it up. And
only two stanchions left?
Yeah. I just tied it together. This is just a little ways from home, but from the cabin. I made it. I fixed that slit right after. Next day, I just put green birch on there, you know, made new stanchions, new cross pieces. Put new bow on there, bumper brush bow, they call it.
You ever have a real wild ride when they took off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got away from me a couple of times. What's that, Joe?
Oh, she said to not whip the dogs for nothing. That's what you taught them.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some wild dogs, fast dogs, rough. But I had one good leader, Bo. I left the cabin one morning, and gee, they were raring to go. They know they're going to Old Village, and gone, I lost them. Too rough, tipped me over, slid straightened up and down they went. I went over the hill into Tadalina. Oh, God, they say I have to walk all the way to the village, I guess. Was walking up, but as soon as the dog team coming, it was my dog team. And they got way out there, about 6 miles from where they come back to me. And that dog looked back, and no driver, the old leader. It wasn't old, it was younger than. And he just made a complete circle. He picked a good spot, too, where no willows or anything. And he just made a complete circle and come back and met me. He'd done that twice to me.
That's a good dog.
Yeah, that's really a good dog. Yeah, man's friend, that one.
You treat him special for doing that?
No, I always treated him good anyway. I never whipped him or anything like that. Didn't have to, he was too good. He was willing. He's smart. I was instinct, you know. He had little shepherd in him.
So would you try and greet dogs from other dogs that you knew were good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I used to. I bred dogs. This dog, I bred him from a dog from down around Ruby. Cochrane, Ruby, and through the. Well, I left. He come up to race in Fairbanks, and his dog got stoved up. Couldn't run, so he left it with me. And while he left it with me, I bred it. Bred it to my dog. And I guess he got good dogs out of it. He got the dog back later, but I got this good dog out of it already. See?
Well, those years trapping, what was the roughest year you ever had?
Oh, we had lots of rough years. You mean for snow and all that?
Oh, just for snow or for being able to get fur?
Oh, yeah, that one year didn't get no fur at all. One mink, I think, I caught. That's after I married her. I had to haul wood to make both ends meet. Till the beaver season come on, didn't it?
Just all it.
Gee, I forgot. That's not too long ago, huh?
No.
20 some odd years ago.
Yeah. Was it just hard to get around? No fur? What was
no fur, no use to go out. There's no foxes, no mink, no lynx. Just muskrats and beaver. And trapped beaver. That started in April then. February 15th it opened. Then it was all right, you could beaver pretty easy then. Then after that you rat muskrat hunting. You get 600-700 of them, you know. Then you're okay.
So you used to go out muskrat hunting every year too?
Yeah, every year.
What was that like?
Oh, that was you go around hunting in canoes and shoot them. You know, you go to all the lakes, go around the lakes. Or you get in them little sloughs, bayous like. And you call them, you know, they'll come out. You call them out when they're hard to get. But they're generally easy. They're curious little things, you know. Swim along and then stop and smell around. By that time you come up to them. And they're not too wild. They're not really wild.
So would a lot of people be camping out together?
Well, different camps. I used to camp up this way alone mostly. Me and Josephine had camp way up there. I got a rat camp right up here where I used to stay every spring. I haven't been there for years because it's all grown up. It's good rat country in here. Not out here. Out here is no good. It's no muskrats out here. I don't know why they deserted the place. Up further is fairly good.
So what was your favorite time of year?
Well, I like it in the fall. I like it from November on. And then it's dull from there till then. You trap foxes get rubbed, you know, by first of the year. They're not too good. But the minks be played out too, you know. Then you go for the lynx. Lynx, you can trap until April. The fur is good in April. Bleach then, you know, from the sun.
So you liked it when there was snow and you could start getting around on dogs. Is that what you liked?
Yeah, I liked that. Yeah. I liked that. I was always anxious in the fall to get out on the trap line. Summer is all we do is fish, you know.
So when's the last year you were fishing? When did you quit fishing?
When was that? 1970, eh, Joe?
Yeah,
1970.
When you moved to this?
To this godforsaken place.
Well, what is that like? How did life change from the old Minto on the river and then moving
Yeah,
here?
Well, for one thing, you're off the river. And then no fishing. Fish was our livelihood, you know. It is yet for that matter. But you can't get no salmon here. See, all the salmon I got, that come from Ninana. My boy brought that down. I guess you know him here, Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He brought 200 down from me the other day, all the way from Nenana.
That's good. Your son's learned how to fish, huh?
Well, him, he's a good fisherman. He fish on, he tries, you know. He fishing on the Yukon too. But the mother boys, Elaine could fish, but he won't. Elaine Riley, you know him?
We'll put that down on paper. Okay.
And, well, I mean, he's...
Just your story, man.
And Elaine, I mean, this other boy, he's fishing now. He'll make a good one later. He'll go on his own. Rocky's on his own. He works for the Tanana chief, you know, year round. And then he will fish wheeling, but off hours, you know.
So they and used to fish, be at fish camp with you when you used to be?
Yeah, we had fish camp.
Whole family would be out.
Yeah. Like in Old Village, I just stayed there and I had smokehouse. Get enough fish there for the winter, for the dogs.
Everybody'd have to work?
Oh, yeah. My kids all work. They just all little fellas then.
Well, I was wondering, we went pretty fast through when you were born at Rampart, and you mentioned your mother's Lucy, but what family was she from? Was she from Rampart?
No. I said there was no such thing as Rampart, uh-huh. You know. I don't know, where did they come from? Down to Kiakuk someplace. They come from down there, down the river.
What was her, did she have a last name?
Oh, no.
Did she have an Indian name?
No. Not that I know.
Who else was she related to?
Oh, she was related to, she had some sisters and one brother, that's all I know.
Who was her brother?
She, you know, Arthur Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
His father.
Moses, huh?
No, Matthew.
Chief Matthew.
Yeah.
So Lucy was the sister.
Yeah. Huh. Then she had three other sisters, three or four. Four, I guess. Well, I don't remember that one.
What were the sisters' names that you remember?
There was Annie, Sarah, and Abby. That's all I know. I don't know their last names.
Is it Annie, another one that was around here? Is that Annie Glass? Different one.
No. That's different. Different. That's Annie. What's here, you mean? Old Annie, they call her? No, what you call that bar man, right? That was his grandmother. His father was the son to this Annie that was used to live here. His name was Art. Right.
Because I was wondering, because in the book we want to use some pictures, and I have a bunch of old pictures from Tanana. And I remember there's a picture of someone named Lucy and sisters. There's a lot of pictures of Chief Matthew.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I could find something there. So she went to Rampart. Was that just when people used to go over there to?
Well, they move up there, you know. They follow the money, too, you know, them days, where they can make a living, you know. Selling meat, selling snowshoes, or anything like that. Selling moose skins. They all tan moose skins some days, you know. Them travelers gotta have boots. and make them moosekin boots, moosekin moccasins for them, mitts, and all that. They make their living that way. And so they follow the mining camps. Yeah.
So is that where she met your father? Was it Rampart?
Yeah. I don't know how old they were when they came up. My old grandmother, she was awful old anyway. She kind of remember the massacre at New Lado. I mean, she was small, but she heard, you know, she knew there was a war or a massacre there. And she was an awful old woman. That was in 1851, that massacre.
Do you remember your grandmother's name?
No, I forgot.
Yes, she
died when I was still young.
So, who was your father then?
I was had none.
So how'd you get that name, Riley?
I guess it's just my father. Trenton, would you call it?
Yeah. So, let's see, this tape's just about going to run out. Got a little bit more. So, after you were born, then you said you were in Rampart for a few years?
Oh, I was there for about 6-7 years.
So, you remember anything from those early days?
Well, no, I don't. I remember some people, and I remember my first Thanksgiving dinner.
What was that like?
Oh, that is good. They had it in town at this, the white folks put it up, the store managers and whatever, you know, whoever, maybe the cop or policeman or whoever, they all put it together and they just made dinner for the whole shebang there in Rampart, in the big community hall. I remember that, but I don't know. Others, I don't know. I remember the old black guy, he had a team, that horse team, that used to run to Panama. They say he did, but I didn't know. But I used to see him start out, you know.
He had a store or something.
Huh?
He had a store there?
No. No, he was miner afterwards. He mined after everything quietened down. I don't know, his old mammy was a cook or something.
Huh?